You are listening to Explained, where I give you the lowdown on root causes and factors that have disrupted your health and what you can do about it.
Welcome to It Starts in the Gut Summit. I'm Laura Frontero, and I'm here with your host, Sinclair Keneally, and she's an expert in all things root cause for digestive and chronic illnesses. Now, each day, I'm going to be here with her talking about a different root cause. So be sure to tune in every single day so you don't miss a thing. And today, we are going to talk about one of the biggest misunderstood and overlooked root causes, liver and gallbladder. I'm excited to do this with you, Sinclair.
Me too. I can't wait. Let's dig in.
It's going to be so good.
This is my love language right here. So
I know it is. Let's do this. You are the liver and gallbladder expert. So let's dig right in and let's talk about why are the liver and gallbladder issues such a big deal today?
I think we have to ask ourselves what has changed in the last couple of decades. You know, so liver and gallbladder health has always been a component of chronic illness. It's often been the on-ramp to chronic digestive issues and other chronic conditions, but it's really exploded in the last couple of years. There's some really scary stats here that we have to like actually pay attention to because things have changed really rapidly. So like in 1960, we only had 4% of the population actually having a chronic illness. And now it's 54% of the population. There's actually... Wait.
Did you just say 4% to 54%?
Yeah. And it gets weirder when you look at the liver specifically, because there's actually 25% of Americans now that have fatty liver disease.
A quarter of Americans.
And that's non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. So we think about liver and we think, oh, well, if you've lived a bad lifestyle, that's your fault. And well... you know, that's on you. And that's not happening to me until we find out that we have chronic digestive issues. Like 61% of us in the United States have had serious chronic digestive issues within the last 7 days. And those usually stem from liver and gallbladder congestion. And then you look at 80% of women over 40 having toxic sluggish bile. It's like something that we're doing is not working. We're responding to this by either ignoring it or obsessing about the downstream symptoms that we see and not knowing how to trace them back upstream to the liver and gallbladder and what went wrong there. And so we're obsessing about the small intestine. We're obsessing about the colon. We're obsessing about the inflammatory markers that we see, our irritability, our dark circles under our eyes, our aging rapidly, our hormones. Everybody I know has been on a hormone replacement therapy at some point. If she's a, you know, high powered woman over 40, because she has the education to go and ask for what she thinks she needs. And that's what people have been telling her is important, except for it does nothing to address the root cause, right? I could go on and on about symptoms and these signs that this is a serious issue. But when we finally figure it out is when you come in for something acute and you get told that it's too late and your gallbladder has to get removed. And now 750,000 gallbladders are removed annually in the United States. And not to put too fine a point on it, but it does happen to be a very profitable surgery. Just saying.
Well, we're going to unpack a whole bunch of that stuff you just said. And so can we start with, you mentioned that things are different today and this is hurting our gallbladder and liver. Can you talk about what's different today that, you know, our grandparents didn't have to deal with?
I actually think that our grandparents is the first place that it started. So we're about 80 years into this grand chemical experiment. I often call it the chemical era to help people understand that this is a very recent phenomenon and it's also like all pervasive. So post-World War II, we had this sudden surplus of petroleum. We're like, well, what are we going to do with it now that we don't need it for the front? I know, we'll turn it into chemicals because we have this rapidly expanding field of making different plastics. And oh, hey, when we spray it, when we actually water it down and spray it on crops, the crops get greener and the farmers are happier and they're making a little bit more money and we can charge them through the roof for this stuff that we're sitting around anyway. They actually called it the Green Revolution. This is so painful looking back, but that's actually what happened. But our food didn't get any denser in nutrients and it didn't get any healthier for us or any safer. It actually got more depleted. And now we're several decades into this and herbicides and pesticides have really gone through the roof in usage since 1996 when we approved things like glyphosate to go onto our crops. Just really, really hard on the liver, not just the gut lining. It's not just about leaky gut, guys. You're going to hear about leaky gut a lot in this summit, but I also want you to be listening for those clues about what happens upstream in order to cause that and keep it going, right? Let's see, what else? Synthetic personal care products. We've got all sorts of weird petroleum-based products in there. Over 100,000 chemicals. We have over 250 pounds of chemicals being imported into the U.S. per person per day. That doesn't count the chemicals that are made in the U.S. That doesn't count herbicides, pesticides, fuel, or pharmaceuticals, which is like the biggest chemical categories. So you have to ask yourselves, like, where is that going? And if even a little bit of it is ending up in our air, our food, and our water the way it is, and our bodies don't have strategies to get rid of it, guess who has to do the heavy lifting and gets bogged down? Your liver. And by extension, your gallbladder, right?
And can you talk a little bit, just real quick, explain to the audience what the gallbladder does in relation to the liver. Let's talk about that. And then the next thing I want to talk about, you mentioned congestion. And yeah. I want to know more about this word congestion and the liver and what it has to do with digestive issues. So unpack, what is that little gallbladder for anyway?
Well, it's
why are they taking it out, right?
There's no way to actually like do this in a quick way, because the liver is actually responsible for over 500 functions in the body. And it actually does up to 200 of them at a time. It's such a beautiful, amazing organ. And it is your largest organ after your skin. And at any point in time, if your blood is flowing well, 13% of your blood is in that little guy. So he's working hard for you, or she, or they. And it's really important to understand that there's a ton of pressure to perform on the liver. And the liver will lie to you on labs. It will actually look fine. If you're listening to this and you're like, but my liver looked fine on my labs, my doctor said so. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean that your liver is doing okay and it doesn't need help, especially if you're experiencing other symptoms that are chronic, because the liver can be, you know, reduced by up to 60% in functionality and efficiency and still appear within normal values on your basic panels. So, you know, the liver's job is to help digest food, convert hormones, cleanse the blood, process old hormones and not just converting or creating new ones, processing prescription drugs, processing, you know, all the chemicals and weird stuff, metabolizing and separating out those toxins for excretion. That's why when you come to a summit, you often hear about people talking about detoxification in the liver. And the truth is that is super important, but it's only a very small part of what the liver does. And so if that detoxification gets jammed up, everything else that the liver is supposed to do for you gets compromised, right? It's supposed to clear out infections. It's like a huge part of your immune system. Like, this is important stuff to understand, because the liver will make, as one of many, many jobs, bile for you. Bile is such a gross word, I have to say.
It's in the yucky. It's like a four-letter word.
It is a four-letter word. But I've learned to love it, because it really is like your liquid gold detergent in your body. It is so expensive to make, and your liver is so good at doing it. It has to be composed in just the right way in order to stay in liquid form. And it is so delicate and complex and nuanced that if it touches even briefly an environmental toxin that your body did not evolve with, say from Febreze or from, you know, the mercury in your amalgam fillings or a downy sheet or something, you know, like plastic shrimp wrap that was wrapped around your hot organic food that you bought at a salad bar. You know? We think we're doing a great job, and we are. Whatever steps you've taken are awesome. You just have to look at the world with new eyes. That's all. So bile is this magical golden liquid that gets suspended perfectly with just the right chemistry. And the liver produces it for you. And then it goes down and actually gets held in your little catcher's mitt, which is that tiny little, it's supposed to be shaped like a thumb. That's what your gallbladder is supposed to look like. But it actually usually looks like a fat little pear, because it's having some troubles. It's getting bogged down. So the gallbladder is supposed to mostly hold the bile for you, like a little catcher's mitt, like a little purse, and then be very intelligent about flushing bile into the small intestine at just the right moment when your food comes down from the stomach, and because it's been broken down by your stomach acid and into the small intestine. So the bile and the pancreas are supposed to meet and whoosh, flood in bile from the gallbladder, pancreatic enzymes, and sodium bicarbonate from the pancreas. And all of these are neutralizing the stomach acid together and further breaking down the food. But out with the bile comes toxins that are supposed to be flushed out through your bowels. because that's your body's favorite way to get rid of toxins and metabolic waste. Your body doesn't want to flood a bunch of stuff from the liver into the kidneys because the kidneys are not as resilient. They're a little more delicate. The bile is supposed to help break down your fats from there. It's supposed to help you absorb calcium. It's supposed to help you absorb your nutrients that from the food that has just come into the small intestine. And it's also supposed to deposit junk like toxins, like metabolic waste, like old broken down hormones to go out through your stool. And then your body wants to recycle that bile because it's super expensive to make, remember? So it wants to use up to 95% of those bile acids again and restore them back up in the gallbladder. So reflush back up. And the problem with that is when you have synthetic toxins and heavy metals and things that your body did not evolve with, guess what they're really good at doing? Holding onto that sticky bile. And they will stay chemically attached and they'll come back up when they were supposed to dump out the way normal metabolic waste would have back in the day.
Does this lead to the congestion you were talking about earlier?
Yeah, exactly. It totally does because, and I just think it's so sweet when somebody comes to us and says, oh, thank God we found you. You know, we heard that you're the liver lady and I want to save my gallbladder and I have a gallstone. They found one or they found three or six, you know, on my ultrasound. We got to get rid of this gallstone or these five gallstones. And it's so cute because I know for a fact if they're actually calcified enough and, you know, potent enough in mineral content to show up on an ultrasound, guaranteed, honey, you got a lot more gallstones than that are in formation. And you have a lot of sluggish bile around them that's kind of trapped in that cute little purse that's supposed to be narrow like a thumb, but it's really fat and wedged with toxic sluggish bile and stones that are in the process of forming. So your gallbladder is really smart though. I need to make this case for the gallbladder, guys, because it's amazing. It's not only is it taking the bile that's made by the liver and holding it for you, it's also condensing it down into the perfect consistency to match exactly what's happening upstairs in the stomach. And these guys are talking to each other. So if your bile isn't flowing with ease, the stomach goes, uh-oh, I don't have enough bile to come in and catch what I'm going to dump into the small intestine. We're going to burn a hole right through it. I've better lower my stomach acid content. We have to stay in balance at all times. This is your upstairs and downstairs team.
And right? Now tell everybody what happens when that stomach acid lowers.
So this is the thing. When you don't have enough stomach acid, you actually can't digest your food the way you need to because food comes down the esophagus and then it goes past this cute little trap door into your stomach. And the stomach acid is building, building, building as you're eating your meal. And once the body senses, okay, I have enough stomach acid in the stomach to actually really go to town on digestion, that little trap door between your esophagus and your stomach will close. It'll lock shut tight so that the stomach can go to town, kill the pathogens, start the chemical process of breakdown that the mouth should have started for you. I said should have because lots of y'all don't remember how to chew and you're in a hurry. And I totally understand it, but you got to remember to do that. But the problem is if you don't have enough stomach acid, that trapdoor never closes all the way because it didn't get the message, I have enough acid to start digestion. Mm-hmm. So if your bile isn't flowing with ease out of your gallbladder, your stomach goes, oops, I better lower my stomach acid content. And this door never closes. And then you start getting acid reflux. It starts splashing up into your esophagus because that trapdoor was supposed to close, but can't right now. So then we start saying to our doctors, oh, it's burning. I have heartburn. I have acid reflux. It's tight in my chest. It hurts in my throat. When I bend down, I have a very unfortunate, unpleasant experience. If it gets bad enough, they start calling it GERD. But all of this actually started because the liver got overburdened with way too much to do. The gallbladder got sluggish with that toxic heavy bile and it could not modulate well enough to flush out at the right time. And the stomach went, uh-oh, my partner is having a hard time. I have to get more gentle. I can't do the job that I need to do. I need to slow my roll, basically. Now, so this is why it gets all kinds of messed up.
Yeah. And I promised everyone listening right now that we would link up what congestion has to do with digestive issues. So I think you just explained that. Is there more to it or is that the whole picture?
Oh, no, there's a lot more.
Okay. So what else happens? Congestion and digestive issues. Because I know people listening to this summit have lots of digestive issues too.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing about digestive issues is that we think we have a certain kind and that it's not, and that we think about it in very isolated terms. So, oh, I've got stomach acid issues, not realizing that it's connected to the gallbladder. And I say, oh, that's not me. I have constipation. Well, honey, that's a big part of that is your gallbladder not being able to release easily flowing plentiful bile to help break up your food, because that bile flow is a big part of how you actually get peristalsis going. Gut motility in the small intestine, peristalsis all the way out through the colon so you can create a nice, healthy bowel movement. So this is a very complex and delicate, nuanced chemical process. And if you slow down that bile at all, because those perfectly suspended crystals in liquid touched that little bit of downy sheet or that little bit of car exhaust, and it started to slow down and drop out of liquid into solid, you have a big problem. Now, people listening might be saying, no, I don't have constipation and I don't have acid reflux. I have diarrhea, or I have alternating constipation and diarrhea. So let's start there. Diarrhea is the body's request for a rapid exit of something that is unsafe. It's an attempt to flush out something that is not supposed to be there. And I ask you, why would that be happening if you had the correct microbiome to break everything down? And your bile was flowing with ease and you had enough stomach acid to break everything down appropriately and safely. It wouldn't be happening, guys. You have a serious microbial imbalance, right? That needs to be addressed. And it's caused by these upstream factors. Well, what if you have alternating constipation and diarrhea? Well, let's talk about it. Alternating constipation and diarrhea is actually constipation. It means that you do not have the gut motility you need. The bile is not flowing with ease. You do not have the peristalsis that you need. And stuff is backing up. It's getting rotted and weird. And your body is looking at this going, this is a serious problem. I have got to find the energy. I'm going to build up the energy. Okay, I'm going to just push it out because this is getting way out of control. And then it settles back down. Uh-oh, problems building. Okay, we got to get it out. But it's not actually dealing with the problem.
This is a huge eye-opener for people watching right now, never realizing that my liver and gallbladder has to do with my constipation or has to do with my heartburn. I mean, this link is a super aha moment, I think, for a lot of people. Now, we have about 10 minutes left for this talk, and I want to make sure that we talk about gallstones and a little bit more about what and why. And I mean, you just mentioned that it's funny when your doctor says, oh, we got to get that gallstone or those couple gallstones out, but your gallbladder is really full of them. So talk a little bit more about why that even happens. What's this gallstone about?
Well, so you've got a couple of different kinds of gallstones, actually. And gall only means bile. It doesn't mean that it has to be in the gallbladder. Actually, many stones are in the liver and you don't realize it. And a skilled technician, and there are not many, I have to be honest, can actually look at your ultrasound and say, oh, no. Yeah, you've got these few crystallized heavy mineral gallstones where you can see where they are in the gallbladder because they're dense enough in minerals. But actually, because of how distended your gallbladder is, you have much more material than that. And you probably have some cholesterol-based stones in there as well that don't have high enough mineral content to show up in this format. And also, if you look over here up at the liver, not only do you have like this white gross tissue around the liver, which is honestly, it's a protection for your liver, because as soon as your liver gets congested, your chemicals inside the liver actually start breaking the blood bile barrier and pushing out every which way through the liver into the bloodstream. This is very toxic and dangerous. So it's one of the reasons why we have non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. It is a protective mechanism. It's not just about eating the wrong foods and how yucky that is and how your body isn't in a position to deal with that. That's a factor for sure. But this is also a protective mechanism. So what's going on inside the liver that would be happening? If you have a skilled enough technician, you will be able to see these distensions in your bile ducts, where there's actually this big, like it's like an empty spot where a pearl would be. Those are cholesterol-based stones. Those are suspended bile salts that are quickly congealing into real stones. And it doesn't matter what's in them, if it's minerals or if it's cholesterol. A stone is a stone. It is slowing down bile flow around it. It's slowing down circulation and it's creating cholestasis. Cholestasis is just a fancy word for, hey, my bile's not moving and it's creating problems. Mm-hmm. So you actually have stones in both the liver and the little gallbladder underneath it. And that's was a big eye opener for me. Like, I got out over 15,000 stones.
15,000 stones.
Before I ever did a liver flush. Oh, wow. Because I knew I was too fragile to go straight into that, hey, let's knock back a bunch of olive oil and see what happens. Like, I was way too fragile for that. And yes, I am a Virgo. So yes, I did count the stones. But you know what? If you are willing to be a toilet detective, it can be so empowering because you're like, look, better out than in. That's part of the problem. And you know it intuitively, like, oh, that is not supposed to be in my body like that. Nope. So it is a big deal. Yes. And many of those are in the liver. There's over 500 miles of bile ducts in the liver. 500 miles. Like, there's a lot of places for these little guys to get stuck. And that's why when you're doing the right protocols, they'll actually come out in waves. When people start working with us, they're like, oh my God, these stones are just volunteering in the toilet. And then they're like, oh, well, they stopped a few weeks later. So I must be done, right? No, sweetheart. You did a great job of offloading in the biliary tree, the ones that were like literally the lowest hanging fruit. Right. Mm-hmm. And then it takes a while for the liver tissues to be able to work the stones down low enough to do it again. If you're only going to stay on that low dose protocol, or you can actively support the liver if that's your goal to help relieve it faster.
It's unbelievable.
I feel like you asked me one question. I answered five.
That's okay.
Did I answer the right question?
You did. Okay. What are those gallstones all about? But there's something else that's in your liver that I think is quite surprising. So could you talk about the critters that are in your liver?
Yeah, I'm happy to. The problem with any place of stagnation in the body is that your body is designed to be in a constant state of flow. That's what health is. Mm-hmm. A moving stream runs clean, right? Whether it's your bloodstream, your lymph, your digestive tract, and yes, your liver for sure. So if you get congestion in the liver and the gallbladder, you actually create the perfect little environment for something that we call liver flukes. Liver flukes is the common name for trematodes, and it is a specific kind of parasite that is really thrilled to come in and snack on your cholesterol and your cholesterol-based stones and hang out in this warm, gooey environment and cause a ton of stagnation. It is so hard for your liver to take care of these without you actually going in with an active protocol to offload them. Because this is not like a short-term problem, okay? And you do not have to have found, you don't have to have gone to Bali or even Mexico or somewhere. They're actually all over the planet and they are very common in the United States. So sorry, you're not off the hook. And they can be found basically on any kind of food. You don't have to be living on a farm or around a lot of livestock or animals. That's another common myth about them. So when they come into the body, they're usually hiding on your food and they will punch a hole through your small intestine and swim upstream to find the liver because that's their favorite nest. And they have a 25 to 30 year lifespan.
And they probably reproduce like crazy.
Yeah, they're great at it. That's why when you're on the right protocol, you can actually dump like dozens of these a day, depending on who you are and what you got going on in there.
Yeah. And sometimes I talked to somebody you treated and they told me that that first time that liver flukes came out, what they saw in the toilet was, in her words, undulating.
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah. They're usually dead though, or they're usually playing dead.
Yeah. So. But better out than in. I'd be pretty excited if that got out of me.
Better out than in. It does not belong in your body if you want to be healthy and a moving stream runs clean. So that everything we do in our life, everything we've been through that caused stagnation, cholestasis, things slowing down, created the perfect environment for stones to form and set up shop for the long haul and for these little flukes, these trematodes to set up shop and come in and snack on them. It's like their favorite meal. It's like an endless buffet for them.
Well, you covered a lot of ground today about liver and gallbladder. So what I want to ask you to do right now is to bring it all together of why this is the first root cause that you decided to talk about on the first day of this summit. And why this is so important with the whole concept of this summit of it starts in the gut. Bring that together for us.
Yeah. Now that we've laid all this stuff out on the table, all this scary, weird, gross stuff. I don't know how I got into this, by the way. Yes, I do. I, It was a very intense health journey, and I got very inspired to help everybody else with it. But the reason why this is on day one is because the liver and gallbladder are still completely overlooked here in 2022 as some of the primary stress points that are really under attack with what we have just in our general environment. You don't have to have an exotic exposure to anything. You could just be living life, and your liver and gallbladder could be under too much stress. And that really can be a root cause for people. And for the rest of the week, our focus on root causes, these chats together are going to be about unpacking what is slowing down the liver, what is making life so hard for it, and what is stopping the digestive tract from being able to heal itself. Because your body absolutely knows how to do that. It has exquisite capabilities to regenerate itself, and your gut lining can heal itself and replace itself in 3 days. So how come our digestive symptoms and by extension our chronic illnesses are so freaking persistent? That's what we're going to unpack all week. And I wanted you to have this foundational layer covered by me in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I thought it was going to be covered more by other experts. I was like, okay, I just got to jump in and make sure this happens, you know? So day one is all about your health conditions having deep roots, and you can absolutely reverse them. So we have some amazing condition-specific experts today that I hope everybody listens to every single one because it can absolutely change your life. You'll be hearing all about the surprising factors and hidden stressors that actually disrupt your health. And it really does all start in the gut. So that's the exciting part. And then as you're listening to that all week long, remember to be joining us in our Facebook group to actually be taking our daily self-assessment so that you can learn all about whether or not a set of stressors is impacting you and your health. And then we're going to tie it all together at the end of the week with a very special masterclass. I guide you basically to create your personalized action plan from here. So it's going to be a really exciting week, and I cannot wait to share. This is like my love letter to everybody. So
good. It's so good. Thank you, Sinclair. This has been an amazing talk on liver and gallbladder, and you have such a way of making it so easy for everybody to understand. Your analogies, the way that you break information down, I'm sure everyone listening can appreciate that. I know I can. So thank you. And for everyone listening, be sure to tune in tomorrow for another root cause talk, because she's going to unpack something else. And like Sinclair just mentioned, mark your calendars and stay tuned for that masterclass where she wraps all this together for you and gives you solutions and helps you put this together so that you can heal.
So fun. I can't wait. Thank you so much for doing this with me. Thanks for listening. Go to detoxrejuvenation.com to find the links in the show notes to everything we covered in this episode. Please subscribe, review, and share with other humans who need this precious information. Let's help each other. Until next time, love, Sinclair.